Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thundercast, Thundertech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, creative director of Thundertech, and I'm here with a couple other people.
Hey, everybody. I'm Justin Smith, manager of the user experience team at Thundertech.
And we have a special guest with us today.
Hello. Christian Dockstrup here, and I am a cereal enthusiast here at Thundertech.
So Christian's here because we are talking about cereal today.
It's a cereal podcast.
It's a cereal podcast.
Dude, you couldn't even make it like 30 seconds, could you?
I was really waiting to make the connection that it's a cereal podcast.
So this is timely because this Saturday is National Cereal Day.
Yes.
What does that mean, Christian?
Well, National Cereal Day is probably one of the most important holidays that we have in the U.S. Just celebrating the iconic breakfast routine of mixing puffed corn with milk.
And don't forget about sugar.
And sugar.
And a fair amount of sugar.
A fair amount of sugar. Part.
So since this is a marketing podcast, let's talk a little bit about the marketing of cereal, specifically cereal aimed at children.
So the cover story this week in Bloomberg Business is Bad News in Cereal City, which is highlighting Kellogg's recent woes and how they're kind of failing to change with the market. So reporting that Kellogg fell 8% in the fourth quarter of 2014, and it's their seventh quarterly decline in a row. You have this cereal giant like Kellogg that is on the decline. For a company that spends more than $1 billion on advertising a year, you have to wonder, you know, what they're doing wrong. So the market has kind of changed. People aren't eating cereal as much as they used to. Americans now have fewer children. You know, the husband and wife duo with kids, maybe they're both working. Maybe they're taking the kids to daycare and grabbing some breakfast on the way out, whether it be a cereal bar or some yogurt. So they're looking for more convenient approaches than having to sit down, pour a bowl of cereal with milk. And the people who, there was a study here, for the people who do eat breakfast at home, they kind of favor a more labor-intensive breakfast, you know, cooking eggs, cooking oatmeal, kind of making a full breakfast layout. So Kellogg's isn't, you know, keeping up with the market as much as they should, and they're seeing that decline in sales.
Craig, do you eat breakfast? You got kids, right?
I do. I eat breakfast, and actually I'm a cereal eater.
Yeah.
However, I try to eat a little healthier cereal. Now, I'm fully aware that I'm fooling myself into thinking that the Rice Chex that I eat are healthier because I know they're still packed full of sugar. Mm-hmm. I have a rule in my house when it comes to cereal for my kids. I won't buy them any cereal in which sugar is the first ingredient.
Wait. There are cereals in which sugar is the first ingredient?
Absolutely. This is a routine that my kids and I have. We go to the store and they'll pick cereal boxes off the shelf and they say, how about this one? I look in the ingredients and yes, more often than not, first ingredient is sugar, followed secondly by corn or wheat or whatnot. Yes. So, and I mean, everybody understands that the ingredients on packaging are listed in order of amount. So that means that 51% or more of these cereals is flat out sugar. So that's no sugar, no cereal that has sugar as a main ingredient. Second ingredient, that's fine, right? If it's 49% sugar, that's absolutely fine.
So you don't love your kids that much, right?
Well, no, I mean,
I'm kidding.
49% yeah. love, right? That's statistically relevant.
Well, no,
right?
I mean, and I don't think that this is an realistic expectation, but I would be willing to bet that most of the number one sugar ingredient cereals are like the ones with the big cartoon characters on the front and, you know, loud colors and...
Yeah, I mean, Kellogg's started for, you know, according to the Bloomberg article, you know, which we all read, Kellogg's is a very health-oriented organization when it first started, right? They were looking for a better breakfast solution for America. But at somewhere along the way, that better breakfast solution became sugary kids cereals. And as a parent, I'm as guilty as the next, where I my kids can grab a box cereal, pour it themselves, pour in the milk, and I don't have to cook breakfast for them. But yeah, all you have to do is walk down the cereal aisle at a grocery store and you can see, you know, all of these mascots, right, from Tony the Tiger and Toucan Sam and the Trix Rabbit and who else?
Sugar Smacks.
Cap'n Crunch.
Cap'n Crunch. Yes.
My fave. Count Chocula. Blueberry. Frankenberry.
The seasonal cereals. The monster cereals.
So yes. Christian and I were talking about these characters a little bit yesterday, I think.
Yes.
So let's talk about those dudes.
So obviously, you know, it's a huge marketing ploy to gain attention of children. You know, and they're even placed, if you look in the aisles, they're placed at a lower level. Mm-hmm. So at kind of kid height. So what you have is these characters that are appealing to children right at the kid's eye level. So of course they're going to want to grab those cereals first, and it's most appealing to them. Obviously, most of those have sugar as the number one main ingredient. So they're trying to attract the children to get those cereals.
So you passed around an article recently that I thought was interesting that talked about the actual illustration of the characters
yes.
on the cereal boxes, that they were designed in such a way that the eye line of the characters were facing down so that they were looking straight into the eyes, right into the souls of these children
yes,
to
yes.
encourage them to buy this cereal.
So yeah, Cornell, I think, I forget their complete division of that. It's like the food and something research center.
The cereal research center
cereal research.
Of Cornell.
I'm sure they're doing some great work there. Anyways, Cornell researchers did a study of all these characters and studying their eye lines. So as they're placed at, you know, 45 inches above, you know, the level at kind of eye level of the things. So they have kind of a downward angle. Yes, they could be kind of looking at the cereal bowl, but they could also be looking directly into the eyes of the kids. And that kind of goes with the psychological influence of making eye contact gains trust. So that these kids are looking at, you know, Tony the Tiger, and they're like, Tony, I trust you. You're going to give me a good breakfast.
So now the cereal manufacturers dispute this. They say that that their characters are looking at the cereal bowl, because that's universal in cereal packaging, that there's a big bowl on the front of the box that is enlarged to show texture,
right?
That shows this delicious sugary cereal, and the mascot's just looking at it. So what do we think? Is that legit? Are they really looking at it? Or is it a nefarious scheme by marketers to connect with children and therefore influence parents?
I think it's definitely the amount of money they put into marketing and figuring out, you know, placement and illustration and colors. I think that's it's very well thought out that using the eyes of the character to make that connection is all purposeful.
So, I mean, what about the non-character side of it? Like, some of them have, like, photographs, like life, and, you know, like, I don't remember Michael Jordan on the box of Wheaties looking down at the cereal.
Well, interesting.
He was looking right at me, you know?
Interestingly, you bring that up, because Wheaties will be placed on a higher shelf, marketed towards adults, and you'll see Michael Jordan staring straight at you. So he's at your level making eye contact, which is...
Justin, buy my cereal.
Yeah. If you want to be good as Michael Jordan, you can dunk.
If you eat my cereal.
Do you guys know that I can actually dunk?
You cannot dunk.
No,
I highly doubt that.
I'm just kidding.
Two bowl of Wheaties? Maybe you can dunk.
Yes. All that bran in your belly, that will give you the energy to dunk a ball.
Well, I mean, I would think, though, that like a photograph of a person looking down at cereal... I mean, that's not even, like, how would you even make that look interesting on the cover of a cereal box? Like, you don't see that very often.
Right.
But you can design a character to look good while looking down, and it still feels like they're engaged with you and with the context. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just picturing, like, the top of somebody's head while they're looking down at this bowl of cereal, and I'm just like, I don't want to eat that.
Well, they're not face down in the bowl of cereal, right?
Yeah, but they're
well,
looking
it also helps, too, that the cartoon characters have giant eyes,
yeah.
So it takes up most of their head.
You know, and marketing-wise, it goes way beyond just what's on the box, of course,
right.
Because you take this static illustration on the box, and then you animate it on Saturday morning cartoons. But... You know, I wonder if that has a lot to do with the decline in cereal in general, not just the changing eating habits in America, but the fact that Saturday morning cartoons aren't a thing anymore, right? It used to be that cereal manufacturers could concentrate their media buy on a two-hour block in the morning of Saturdays and connect with kids. And now, I mean, you have 100, 200 channels, and my kids scan up and down the dial all the time. So they're not being bombarded by these animated cartoons, you know, cereal cartoons all the time. So I think that has a lot to do with I mean, my kids aren't pestering me to buy the latest cartoon cereal that they've seen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and so my wife's a teacher, and we talk a lot about like websites that she uses. And this has kind of got me wondering about, you know, what have the cereal manufacturers started to do about digital? You know, I'm thinking about a lot of the websites that she uses in school or recommends that the children take home. They're generally free to use, but they're also advertising free, right? There's this kind of perception that marketing directly to children is kind of bad, or, you know, I mean, it's just maybe a little bit less honest. You know, any thoughts on kind of how these marketers of cereals are kind of missing the boat on digital?
So that they should connect more with kids? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, kids don't watch Saturday morning cartoons, but they play a ton of games on the iPad. Like, why isn't Tony the Tiger like a superhero in a game that you can play?
I would totally play that game.
I would too.
Yeah, it seems like innocent marketing if it's just an app. Yeah. You know, a game or something like that.
Yeah, but I think the big takeaway here is that marketers, especially a marketer like Kellogg's, has to seriously rethink their marketing strategy if they want to connect. Referring again to the Bloomberg article, the president of Kellogg's has talked about cutting costs and making the cereal manufacturer more efficient so they can take some of that money and roll out new and exciting brands of cereal. And I think that totally misses the boat. The problem with cereal sales in America isn't that people are bored of the cereals, it's that people's tastes have changed and cereal just isn't the thing that it once was.
I think they should change their marketing target. I think they should target 20-somethings in that whole range. You know, don't go towards the kids. Go to, you know, a 25-year-old adult walking down the aisle looking for some food. You know, they were, you know, in the 90s, you know, there's a bunch of cereals. You know, that was the heyday, I would assume.
The peak of cereal consumption.
Yes.
So maybe like bring some retro stuff back and maybe make it more relevant too. So you put like Cap'n Crunch and some Chuck Taylors and like a knit cap. And
Tony the Tiger should have like flannel stripes.
Yeah.
You know, Sugar Smacks gets like an iconic mustache or something like that. Just like really turn up the marketing towards the 20-something crowd. Yes.
I don't know if I can support a mustachioed Sugar Smacks, but
I think he can pull it off.
But I think there's some valid points in maybe leveraging that nostalgia aspect, right? As a 40-some-year-old man, there's a lot of cereals that I loved as a kid. And I would eat Captain Crunch every weekend if it didn't, you know, cut the crap out of the roof of my mouth. And
well, so the article also talks about just how consumers' tastes are changing. And people aren't eating cereal anymore because they're interested in kind of different things for breakfast, right? We were talking about, you know, oatmeal. That, you know, like steel-cut oatmeal is huge right now, relatively speaking, I suppose. But people tend to want things that take a little bit longer to cook. The convenience factor is going away.
Yeah, so mentioned in the article that people are looking for convenience, and if they're staying at home and making cereal, or not cereal, if they're staying home and making breakfast, you know, they're taking their time, they're making oatmeal, they're making eggs, they're making a full breakfast instead of, you know, sitting in front of a bowl of cereal.
Mm. And I mean, I guess in a traditional sense, you could argue that, well, if consumers' tastes are changing, you know, we can try and market to them and change their tastes back. But I think a more contemporary approach to that is to start to use that data and take that information back to R&D, right? And say, what can we do as marketers to inform the direction of the whole company? If people aren't eating cereal and, you know, we're fighting that really hard, like, let's figure out what plan B is too, and let's figure out how to capture that.
Now, to be fair, some manufacturers have done that. There's cereal bars out there that are basically granola bars, but made with Special K flakes or whatnot. And it seems like they haven't caught on. Plus, it really seems like cereal manufacturers are clinging to the past. They know how to put flaked sugary cereal in boxes and put those boxes on shelves. And they're loath to walk away from that model. But I think you're right that it's a harsh reality is that cereal is declining, is going to continue to decline, and you need to change with the time or be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Last point on this article. You guys seen the new Bloomberg website? It is rad.
Redesigned. I took a brief look at it. It's a nice looking clean design there.
Yeah. I love the menu. I love the colors.
Yeah, it's a big bold menu.
Yeah.
Takes up the full screen.
Yeah. Total shift.
I do like how they treat their imagery as well. They kind of put their Bloomberg filter on top of, it's a blue and pink kind of filter to it, which, you know, can set it apart from, you know, other news sites, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. To wrap up this serial themed podcast, let's talk about some of our dearly departed serial brands that you can no longer find on the shelf. Some of these are my favorites. Justin, you mentioned the monster cereals, Fruit Brut, Yummy Mummy. Those those were exciting brands that I loved as a kid. No longer there. I found a website that had a bunch of defunct cereal brands, and some of them are just old-fashioned cereal that you would expect that would go out of style after a while, like Kellogg's Puffa Puffa Rice. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, last on the shelves in 1975. Mm. Pink Panther Flakes went out of business a year before that. Smurf Berry Crunch. A lot of these brands were clearly the cereal manufacturer's attempt to grab what was ever hot in the news at the time, right? Smurfs were big for a while.
I do remember Bill and Ted's Excellent cereal, so obviously that was a nice tie-in to the excellent movie.
Who would have ever predicted that wouldn't have lasting appeal? Mr. T cereal. Mm.
Was it just called Mr. T cereal?
It was, yeah, Mr. T. I know, it seems like it should be Mr. T Crunch or Mr. T something else, but it's not. There was Urkel O's. I can't say as I ever remember seeing Urkel O's, but...
start your day with a wedgie.
That had to be, as an actor, that had to be one of his higher moments. C-3PO's.
Well, those can make a comeback with the new, new movie coming out.
Fingers crossed.
Jump on that. Now, speaking of a retired cereal that just came back, French Toast Crunch was a favorite.
Yeah, I never know that ever went away.
Yeah, it's back. Came back in this January. A lot of people now are clamoring for Oreos to make a comeback as well. Oreo-O's.
All right, good stuff.
So... yeah, we should mention that you can now subscribe to Thundercast on iTunes and Stitcher if you are so inclined. Thanks for listening. If you have a topic that you're dying to hear us talk about, send us a tweet at ThunderTech, and it might be featured on our next podcast. Thanks for listening.